And I understand you guys had a great time last week. And I believe that today we're going to kick it up a notch. What do you guys think, huh? There's been a great atmosphere in here most of the morning as we've been praying and as the team has been practicing. So I believe that we're going to be able to receive a real tangible presence of God. Now, I want you to know that when we gather together, we're not gathering together to be spectators. We're not gathering together to just be entertained. We're gathering together to enter in the very presence of God. Now, that doesn't mean we can't do that when we're home alone or if we're home with our family. But we have an opportunity when we gather together corporately in numbers and our hearts knit together and our hearts have an expectancy and a hunger. We have an opportunity to have a presence of God that can surpass what we can receive ourselves. When the Lord sees hearts together unified, it says in Psalm 133 that he commands a blessing. How many want God's commanded blessing on us here today? How many want to receive everything that he has for you? Not leave anything on the table. It says in the word that he prepares a table for us before our enemies. And I believe that the demons in hell shudder when God's people gather together. That the demons in hell realize that things are about to be released in the supernatural realm that is going to be released into lives and released into hearts that will not let them remain the same. Be transformed. We have that opportunity now. Praise God. Praise God that he created families of God. That we can gather together, link arms as one, and experience who he is in all of his dynamic power, glory, and majesty. Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Father, today that you have prepared this day for us. Lord, that this is a day that you have made for us, a time for us. But Lord, we don't want it to be about us. We want it to be about you. We center our focus. We center our attention. We look to you, Jesus, right now, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to you, Jesus, the one that for the joy that was set before you endured the cross, you despised the shame, Lord, for us. And Lord, we thank you, God, that today you're going to manifest, you're going to reveal yourself in a supernatural way to our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we can leave here changed, that we can leave here transformed. Lord, we look to you. We hunger for you. We desire you, Lord. That's why we're here. So we ask right now, God, that every mind, every heart would come into captivity to the obedience of Christ and his word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
With this heart open wide from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice.
Come on, with these hands lifted high.
With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry. I will bring a sacrifice. I will bring a sacrifice. I lay me down, I'm not my own, I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, hand on my heart, this much is true. There's no life apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down. Go on my pride, giving up all my rights. Take this light and let it shine, shine, shine. Take this light and let it shine.
Sing it out to the Lord.
And I lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down.
joy to say, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your ways, always. Come on, think about what we're singing this morning. No matter how the situation looks, let's sing it. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, yes, it will, God. Your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your ways, always. Come on, last time. It will be your will, God. Cause it will be my joy to say, yes, God. Your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way, always. Belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, and on my heart this much is true. There's no life apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down.
I lay me down.
And I lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, and on my heart this much is true. There's no life apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down. Down at your feet, God. We lay our lives down at your feet, God. We say your will, your ways. Your will, your ways, God. We sing your will. We sing your will, God.
This morning, let's just put our hands right now just on our heart. And let's just say, God, take full control of this service. God, take full control of our lives this morning, Jesus. God, we surrender our hearts. God, we surrender our minds. God, we surrender, God, whatever happened this last week. God, whatever's happening this morning, God, whatever's happening right now in this moment, Father, we surrender it to you, Jesus. And God, we pray right now, Father, as we surrender our heart, God, that you would just completely take full reign and rule, Jesus. God, let this be a moment, God, of complete intimacy with you, Jesus. God, we just give you everything this morning, God. God, silence our hearts, silence our minds. God, that we can just fully focus upon you, Jesus. Just surrender to him this morning.
I surrender. I surrender, Lord. I surrender.
Here is my heart, God. Here is my heart, God. We surrender, Lord, we surrender. I surrender. Yes, I do, Lord. I surrender. Come on, give him your heart this morning. Here's my heart, God. Here's my life, here's my soul. Here's my heart, God. Take control, Lord. I surrender. Yes, we do as a body. I surrender. I'm letting go, God. Here's my heart, God. Come on, with one mind and one accord. We surrender. We are letting go, God. We surrender. Come on, church, let's just glorify the Lord. We surrender. With hands lifted high, we surrender. It's not my life, but it's yours, God. I surrender. Oh, Lord, I surrender. Yes, I do, Lord, I surrender. Here's my heart. Here's my heart, God. Here's my mind. Here's my mind, God. Here's my family. Here's my job. I surrender. You know my needs before I know, God. I surrender. The enemy says one thing, but you say another, God. I surrender. You look inside my heart. You see inside my soul. God, I give you control, God. I lay it down, Lord. I surrender. Come on, last time, I surrender to you. I surrender. We lay it down, God. I surrender. As your presence falls, I surrender. I surrender, Lord. It feels so good to let go and give you control, God. It feels so freeing, God. For your burden is easy, God, and your yoke is light. When I just let go and you take control, I feel freedom. I feel freedom, God. I feel freedom, Lord. Just letting go, God. I feel like an eagle soaring on the wind, oh God. I just want to encourage you this morning. God is here and he wants just to break every chain. He wants to break every chain this morning. And he just wants you to begin to let go of whatever it is. If it's an addiction, if it's whatever, he just wants you to just let it go and just let God. Father God, we just let go this morning. God, we give you full reign and rule in our lives, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father, for freedom in this place this morning, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, God, for liberty in this place, God. You came, God, to set the captives free, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, can we just for a few more moments, let's just lift up our voices. We don't need to sing a song. We just need to lift up our voices and glorify the name of the Lord. Come on, church, from the depths of your spirit, from the depths of your hearts, come on, let's just lift up a voice of unity, just lifting up the name of the Lord. God, we glorify you, Lord. God, we lift you up this morning, Lord. We praise your name, oh God. We praise your name, oh Lord. I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender to you, Lord. I give it all to you, God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. We just love to bask in your presence, Jesus. And open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near, and hear us from heaven, and touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Let's sing that again to the Lord. Open the eyes. And open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, and touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. And Lord, hear our cry, and come heal our lands. Our prayer to you, Lord, and breathe life into come on, Lord, hear our prayer. And Lord, hear our prayer. Forgive our sin, Lord. Forgive our sin. As we call on your name, would you make this a place for your glory to open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near, hear us from heaven, and touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Come on, hear, Lord, hear our cry. And Lord, hear our cry.
Lord, hear our cry.
And come, heal our land. Breathe life into these dry and thirsty souls. Come on, as we cry upon your name.
As we call on your name.
your people crying out in desperation. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven and touch our generation. We are your people crying out in desperation.
Let's just sing that one more time to the Lord. And open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near. And hear us from heaven and touch our generation. We are your people crying out in desperation.
You know, for years we sang songs about the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking. And I would always think of the natural. I would always think of someone in our congregation or in our church visiting and their eyes open up, or someone that's deaf, their ears open up. That would be amazing. That would be an amazing miracle. But I believe there's so much more to this than just the physical. I know for me personally, the last 2 years, I feel like my eyes are barely opening. And I've been saved for over 30-something years now. But it's like they've been closed. It's like I've been blind. It's like the very work that Christ did was somehow being totally hidden from me. And I was saved, and I received His grace, and I was forgiven, and I was going to go to heaven. There's nothing wrong with that. But I miss being a child of God. I miss being a son. I miss being a beloved. And I believe that this song is talking about us seeing not only God for who He is, but seeing us for who we are, His beloved children, His children that He cherishes and adores. And I believe if we can start hearing from heaven that voice, "You are my beloved children in whom I'm well pleased. You are my children. I have begotten you." Where we hear the cry of the Father, the heart of the Father, and we let our eyes see truly as they're meant to see. And I believe then, yes, the heavens are going to be unlocked, that the doors are going to open. Nothing will stop us from becoming who we're meant to be. However that is for you, and however that is for me. So when we sing this again, I don't want you to picture somebody, you know, on a street corner all of a sudden seeing or maybe hearing. I want you to think of your own heart and say, "God, open these blind eyes. Open these deaf ears. Unlock your glory into my life." Some may say, "Well, Pastor Mike, that sounds very selfish." Don't worry about it. God prayed that kind of prayer for you the night He was being betrayed into the hand of sinful man who crucified Him. He said, "Father, I pray that the glory that I have, you would give to them." If he can pray that kind of prayer, you can pray for all that God has for you. We need to be greedy when it comes to the things of God. Not in a prideful way, but in a way that we have already received it as sons and daughters. Amen? Amen. Let's try that again, Nick.
In the blind eyes, don't lock the deaf. Come to your people as we draw near, and hear us from heaven and touch our generation. We are your people crying out in desperation. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf. Come to your people as we draw near, and hear us from heaven and touch our generation. We are your people crying out in desperation.
love came down, rescued me. Love came down, set me free. I am yours, and I am forever yours. And mountain high or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I am yours, and I am forever yours.
We are His. No matter what we've done, no matter where we're at in our lives, no matter where we're at in our walk, whether we've had a relationship with Jesus before or not, we are His. Because we're His kids. No matter what our kids do, no matter where they go, no matter they murder somebody and end up in prison, they're our kids, and we love them. There's nothing that we can do that is going to separate us from the love of our Father. No matter what, and sometimes we feel unworthy because of what we've done or where we've been or who we've been with. But that doesn't matter to God. He just wants you. He wants to have a personal relationship with his kid, with his daughter, with his son, no matter what. So as we bring that up again, I just want you to tell him, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours.
In case you didn't hear the message that Stephen is delivering from the Lord shared with me when we were singing earlier that there are six people in here, four of them men, young men, children, whichever, and two women that don't know what it is to have the Father accept them. Whether they knew a father's love or a mother's love, or if they were rejected, it doesn't matter. The Father stands and he waits. He is desperate for us to come to him. He is desperate for us to have communication with him. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter. The Lord wants you to run to him daily. Have a relationship with him daily. Feel his love daily. So if there's 33 or 93, it doesn't matter. The Lord is calling us. He is calling us this very minute to run into his arms and let him surround us with his love and acceptance. So if that is you, run to the Father. Run to the Father. Run to the Father. Thank you, Lord.
And I am yours and all my days. Jesus, I am yours. And I am yours. And I am yours. And all I am yours, I am yours, I am yours, all my days, Jesus, I am yours. Thank you.
We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord, over us.
Yes, God.
We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord, over us.
Yes, God.
We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord, over us. We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord.
Lord, we release the perfect love of God in this place today. Lord, the love that eradicates and removes every fear of the enemy, every lie of the enemy, every discouragement, everything that has been our failures. God, we release your love, God. That complete, perfect love, Lord, in this house right now, in every heart right now, Lord, in every cavity, Lord, that has been consumed and occupied with things that aren't pleasing to you, but also have caused us to be what you've not made us to be. Lord, we release your love right now, God. We release the glory of God right now, Lord, over us, Lord. Right now, God, we release it, Lord. We do not receive, God. We do not receive, Lord, what the reports have been about us, Lord. We receive, Lord, what you say about us, that you love us, that we are accepted, that we are cherished, that you look at us, Lord, even while we're sleeping and have joy over us, God. We release the love of God in this place right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon, God, no scheme in the enemy, nothing that has been designed to trap or kill us, Lord, or set us back, Lord, will have victory in our lives, Lord, but you will turn it, Lord, for our good, Lord. We release your love, Lord. We release your glory, Lord. We release your manifest presence right now, God. We choose, Lord, not to look at our circumstances. We choose, Lord, not to look at our situations, God. We look beyond, God, our situations to the cross. We look beyond, God, our situations to your eyes of love, God. And we receive right now the grace. We receive right now the inheritance, God, for the saints that you've promised for us, Lord.
We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord. We release your love, oh Lord, over us. We release your love, oh Lord. 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 We release your love, oh Lord, over us. Your banner over us is love, God. Your banner over us. Oh, you declare it in the heavens, God. Oh, your banner. Your banner over us is love. Oh.
You could go ahead and pick that just a little bit, Nick. I just got a praise report from the All High God. God is so good. So good. He's been with me every day of my life, and he brought me thus far 30 years ago. I was so glad somebody said, come on, let's go to the house of the Lord. Because I was going nowhere. But anyway, I seen the manifestation of his power here about a week ago in Memorial Hospital. My sister, the doctors have said that her kidneys have shut down. She didn't have no more liver. I didn't believe that for 1 minute, because it's a power with God within my soul that start rising up in that place. I seen angels start covering every part of that building. As we was there, we had all our families. We got quite a big family. The Williams goes a long way. We tons of children. I mean, I don't know where the end of it's going to come to, but we had an opportunity in California to see more. But anyway, in this hospital, we got together. We started calling on the name of God. God said, help is on the way. Help was on the way. As we bind together hands and we start praying, let me tell you, Lord, come down in that place. People start crying, sobbing. Oh, hallelujah. It's just giving me goosebumps right now, what God can do. You saints know what I'm saying? You know what God can do. A lot of you in here got those testimonies, some powerful testimonies. But I want to say right now, when God came in that building, in that hospital, doctors said she would not make it. I think it was on a Friday night. And come that Sunday, she was setting up eating and praising God. Woo! Boy, that makes me happy inside. It makes me happy. You know what he can do? Come on, somebody. Y'all can give him a better clap offering than that. I know you can give him better than that. Because we serve a God that's on time. A God that never fails. A God will heal anything. He can touch cancer. He can touch heart disease. He can touch marriages. He can put together the drug addict. He can do it all. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Wow. He is alive, isn't he? We used to sing a song, God's not dead, he's alive. He is not dead. He is alive. And I just challenge you to just, I just dare you. If you haven't seen him in your life, you just say, God, show yourself alive in my life. I give you opportunity. Show yourself alive. That's a dangerous prayer because he will do it. But you will be blessed if you pray that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. That's what happened in that hospital room. That resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead healed those kidneys. Praise God. Same resurrection power touched our dad. Get to hear about that today. Wow, we serve a living God. We serve a living God. We don't only serve him, we have an opportunity just to be. Just to be. We don't always have to serve and always have to do. I've heard someone say we're human beings. We need to learn just to be. Be who we're called to be. Be who he wants us to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you take a moment and shake someone's hand. Welcome them. Boy, you are a friendly bunch. That's good. That is good. That you love each other. Praise the Lord. I think I can do this. Well, I just realized that we're going to be dedicating babies, and I think I'll be able to do this with holding a mic. I think we should go with the headset. Jesse's pretty quick. Well, while he's doing that, I'll give a couple of announcements. We normally announce right at the beginning of the service, but today will be a different day because Jesse's going to put the headset on me so that I have free hands. I forgot about that. First of all, I want to let you guys know, kids especially, that next week is going to be a special One Life Kids Super Sunday. So at 10:30 a.m., kids, you go downstairs. Parents, you can't stay. And you are going to have an amazing time in the Lord. Can we do this at the same time?
I think so.
Yeah. So right at the beginning of service, exactly. Kids go downstairs, and they will be down there the whole time.
This side,
but that's okay. Yeah, I know. How many years now? Oh, Josh does the left. Oh, so that's what throws him off. Okay. Sorry, guys. We're just family around here. We're not worried about, you know, how we appear or seem. That's obvious.
That's right.
We just want to please the Lord. So, I mean, how many of you are all formal and everything at home? Can I ask you? Do you guys have like ceremonies that you do at home? Like a schedule that you keep and I mean, maybe have dinner at a certain time. But if you think about it, we're God's kids. We gather together. This is like the living room. And now all of a sudden we're going to act all like formal. And I mean, this, come on. That's not what it's about. It's about being who God's called us to be and loving each other for it, right? All right. So yeah, so next week is going to be amazing. It's been put on Christine Scroggins' heart to do this, and she's got a team that's going to be there, and I know you kids are going to be blessed. Anybody excited about it? Okay. Couple people. Andrew's excited, but he can't go down, so. All right. And what else? Oh, one more thing. On and before I switch over. On September... Is it 10th? Yeah, September 10th will be men's breakfast again. So all you men, yeah, 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning. So, yeah, people, that must be for the cooking. I don't know if it's for the time together, but it's good time together. So I'm going to switch mics.
Hi, I'm Gaylene, if you don't know me. Okay, so we're getting ready to go into our transformation season. And I just wanted to let you know, just you may see it on the back of the bulletin thing, but it, October 12th is the men's, October 19th is the women's, and October 26th is the impact teens and the children's. We only do the children's once a year, and we will have children's this time. So I want you guys to have those dates because I want you to put them on your calendar so you can get time off if you need it and have an advance notice. So now listen, I just have to tell you, I already know that God's going to do something really powerful this time. And I'll tell you two reasons that I know for sure. One is because we are changing out the sessions. If you've come many times before and you say it's the same thing, it will not be the same thing. We're rewriting everything. So it's going to be brand new information for each session that we do, pretty close. Maybe not everyone, but I mean almost. Because, you know, you don't fix what's not broken regarding the cross. I mean, you know, it is what it is. So, but most of the sessions will be different and changed. And the second reason I know that is because I've already got several people that I've invited already, and it's not even September 1. So I'm just telling you that I just have a sense deep inside that this time, this transformation season, God is going to do something really special. So if you have never been, or if you just know when you hear this, that this is something you want to do, please make sure and put it on your calendar so that you don't overschedule yourself and not have an opportunity to come. So the 12th is the men's, October 19th is the women's, and October 26th is the impact/kids, okay? And if you have any questions, see me after service. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, amen. So I've realized that it's the wrong date on the bulletin. 10th, you said it very enthusiastically, but if you come on that date, nothing will be going on. It's the 14th. It's Saturday the 14th.
The men's.
The men's, yeah. Yeah, not transform, men's breakfast. So everybody confused?
Yes. Yeah.
Makes all of us. Okay. Let's go ahead and dedicate some babies. How about that, huh? Praise the Lord. So this is the first time I've ever done two groups at the same time. Someday we may be doing 10 at a time. So that's too many. Yeah.
No, let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah, that's population. That's multiplication of the kingdom of God, right? So come on up, Bodines. Sears, come on up. Any family members that would like to come up at the same time? Now, as Christians and New Testament believers, we believe in dedicating our babies. We believe in bringing them before the Lord, just as Samuel was brought before the Lord, and basically offering him to God. Now, we're not going to turn him into an offering, but offering their lives, realizing that us as parents are not equipped to do this on our own, that we don't have the knowledge, we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the skill. But with God's grace and God's power in these lives, these precious children's lives, they will grow up to be mighty men of God. Can you guys agree with me?
Yeah.
So these parents, as believers, are saying, Lord, we want these children to be your children. We want these hearts to be your hearts. We want them to be who you want them to be. We're going to do our very best as parents to raise them and to teach them the things that we know are right and wrong. But when it comes down to it, this is your child. And right now, these parents want to offer their lives to the Lord. And I believe that God is overjoyed with that, and that he will take this offering and turn them into a life well-pleasing to him and a life that will help transform this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I think I'm going to hold Braxton. And Josh, would you please come up? And you can hold Henry, lovingly known as Hank, right? Josh heard Henry today. Who's Henry? I said, that's Hank. That's his real name. Has he ever been called Henry?
Only if he's in trouble.
Only if he's in trouble. And that probably doesn't happen too much right now, does it? No. This is Braxton. Oh, sorry, Braxton. So Braxton is 4 months, right?
Yeah.
And Hank is how old now? Is he a year?
14,
I was going to say, a year and a couple months. Yep. How you doing, Hank? You doing good? These kids are doing great. This is the Spirit of the Lord Almighty on us right now. I know that. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your kids. God, we thank you for these two boys. God, Lord, we pray for Braxton right now, God, that you would just touch his life. Lord, we pray, God, that his heart and his mind, Lord, would be open up to you. Lord, that when he has opportunity, Lord, he would turn to you when there's issues. Mom, you might have to hold him. Like that right there. When there's issues, Lord, that come up, Lord, he would turn to you. Lord, we pray that you would guide his steps, lead and guide and direct him into all the truth that you have him to walk in, Lord. We pray right now for Jim and Casey, God, that you would bless them as parents, God. Give them the wisdom that they need. Give them discernment, Lord, as he grows up, Lord, and they need to know what to do and what not to do. Pray, God, that you would just bless them, Lord, as parents with supernatural wisdom, God, from above, Lord, that doesn't come from books, doesn't come from experience or what other people say, Lord, but comes from you, and that their hearts would be obedient, Lord, to what you tell them to do. God, we pray that this family would be a family of God that would be living for your plan, living for your ways, God, and would glorify you. We pray for all the family members, Lord, that they would be a blessing to this young man. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. And Lord, we pray for Hank, Henry. You're not in trouble. Pray, God, that you would bless him, Lord, that you would help him, Lord, to be who you've called him to be. Lord, we pray that his heart would be soft and tender as well for you, Lord, that you would guide and lead him and help him, Lord, to be who you have called him to be. Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you, Lord, that he is, Lord, going to be following you with all his heart and mind. Pray right now for this couple, Lord. Lord, this couple that have dedicated their lives to you, that have said no to the old and yes to the new. God, we pray that you just bless them, Lord, with wisdom from above. Give them, Lord, the grace that they need, Lord, especially, Lord, as a new one's coming real soon, God. We pray, God, that you would just allow just an order and a peace and a grace to rest upon this home. Lord, we pray, God, that you would just bless this whole family, God, that they would be, Lord, a testimony of the Lord in this lost and dying age. In Jesus' mighty name,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Love you, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Love you. Hi. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you, brother. Oh, sorry, yep. I forgot to give you our gift. Praise the Lord. Well, if the children would come on up. Hi, guys. Are you guys ready to go downstairs?
I'm ready.
You're ready?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's something good for you downstairs. Oh, yeah, no fighting downstairs. We're going to just have a good time. Oh, thank you, hon. All right. Father, we pray right now for these children, Lord. God, we pray that you would bless them today. God, that they would experience everything that you have for them, Lord. Pray, God, that your word, that is truth and life, Lord, and is the light for their lives, Lord, to be revealed to them, and that they would grow and become who you've called them to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to switch this off. So, are you going to stay down, Dad, or he's going up? So, Mother's Day, we were celebrating, it's last Mother's Day, Mother's Day. And it was pretty much a normal Mother's Day, except Dad was feeling a little sick that day, and he said he had been sick for a couple of weeks. And you know, you hear about people being sick for a couple of weeks, and you kind of shrug it off. Well, we had no idea that Thursday he would go into a tailspin, that his health was going to be in serious jeopardy. And he is here today, I believe, a living testimony, as I've said many times, of what God is doing in this day in us as his body, that he's not done with us yet. And just as he's not done with us, he wasn't done with Dad. And Dad, I believe, has a manifest destiny that God still has for him to live. And he is being obedient to that. And he asked me while he was at the nursing home, he says, I would love to be able to share what God's done in my life and in these last days with my healing when I feel better. And I said, it's all yours, because this is a powerful testimony. So Dad, without further ado, please come on up. Dan Dalton.
I have something I want to say to you. The first thing is, I am a child of the King. I want you to know that. The second thing I'm going to say is something that a man that I admired, a man that I respected, a man that I loved very much used to say every morning, Sunday morning, when he got in front of his congregation. This man was Dr. David Bishop. Some of you might still remember him. He was the pastor of Christian Life Center for many years. He would always say, my, 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 what a beautiful congregation. I would like to start and give you a little background of myself. I was born July the 27th, 1933. In a little town in Florida. The name of this town is Havana, 11 miles north of Tallahassee, 6 miles south of the Georgia-Florida line. I was raised on farms and worked on farms until I was 18 years old. I was a high school dropout after my 10th grade. The reason for me dropping out was so that I could help my family put my oldest sister and my two youngest brothers through school. My sister, just older than I, she missed out on some free money because she got married when she was very young. Anyway, I worked on the farm until I was 18. I had a choice of either getting drafted into the military or enlisting. So I enlisted in the United States Navy. I made it a career. I served 20 years active duty. At the end of my 20 years, I transferred to the Fleet Reserve and spent 10 years and 8 months in the Fleet Reserve before I got my final separation. But I was proud to serve my country. Now, I want to say that I was no stranger to church. From the time I was 8 until I was 18, my mother made sure that I went to church. twice on Sunday, every Wednesday night, and if there was anything happening in between, we went then. I would like to recognize my family at this point in time. My beautiful, lovely wife, Carolyn. Over 57 years of marriage. Then I have my children, Cindy Knight, or Cindy Jones, that is. Kayleen and her husband, Rich. Galeen and her husband, Mike, who is your pastor. Kayleen is also a licensed pastor. So I'm a lucky, lucky man. My grandchildren, John Knight, Melissa, then we have Robin, we have Stephen, we have Kelsey. Who am I missing? Is that all? And then we have a whole... What'd you say? Okay. Then all of my great-grandchildren, who totals 11. Now, my son and my daughter-in-law live in California, along with our two grandchildren down there, and we have two great-grandchildren down there. So I want to say to my family, love you with all my heart and my soul. I love you. Without them standing behind me, I would have had some rough, rough days. Now I'll try to get on with what I wanted to say. After my naval career, I came out and I got a job just like anyone else. We were living in Salinas, California. After my job folded up there in 1980, we moved to Washington. And I got a job up here. In fact, I had several jobs since we've been in Washington. Before we moved over here in 1981, my daughter Galeen got married. And we came over to visit one weekend. And the church, the Christian Life Center Church that was on 17th and Knob Hill, had caught fire and burned. So they were having church in one of the Catholic churches here in town. And Dr. David Bishop was the pastor. I want to say he ignited or reignited the light in me that had gone out many years before. For the simple reason, I guess I just had turned my back on our Lord, on our living God. But he reignited that light. I think that even before this, I was beginning to turn my life around because my mother passed away in 1977. And I knew in my heart that if I ever wanted to see her again, I better change my ways. Then my father passed away in 1979. And I knew that I had to change. So after we moved up to Washington, we lived in Walla Walla for a year. And we started going to a church over there. And, I mean, to us, we didn't go to the church to praise the preacher or anything. We went to the church to praise and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we moved over to Yakima here. And in 1982, February the 14th, my wife Carolyn and I went to the altar about 7:30 at the evening service and knelt down in front of that altar and submitted our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our bodies to our living God. And since then, we have made him the center of our life. Without him, I don't know where we would be. We tried to attend every training course that they had in the church because we wanted to be so much a part of the church and a part of the activities in the church. I worked at Christian Life Center for 4 years. I was the maintenance man, the custodian, the groundskeeper, you name it. I took care of everything by my lonesome. And then the opportunity came up. I went to work for Grandview School District. And I want to say something, you know, I gave my 2 weeks' notice. The first week, I was one of the most miserable human beings you have ever seen because I did not know if I was doing the right thing or not. I mean, I was absolutely miserable. On Sundays, one of my extracurricular duties was running the sound booth. And we always had someone up there, you know, that we had two people because it took two people to run the sound. And on this particular Sunday morning, following my first week after my notice, I was up there and was getting everything set up, and the guy that was helping me, his name was Gary Mickle, he came up. And right away he knew that there was something that wasn't right. And he asked me, he says, "Dan," he says, "what's the problem?" And I said, "Oh," I says, "no problem, Gary." He says, "Yes, there is." He says, "I've been with you long enough to know." He says, "Something's wrong." He says, "Now tell me." So I related to him, you know, how miserable I had been because I did not know whether I was doing the right thing or not. And he says, "Let's pray right now." So we joined hands right there in that sound booth and we prayed. We prayed that God would give me confirmation on what I was doing was right. And so I was running the mix board and Gary was running the recorders and everything, you know. And about midway through the morning service, it was like a little man was sitting here on my left shoulder. And this voice spoke to my heart. It says, "You go where I send you. And you do my work. Because I'm sending you there for a purpose. I'm sending you there to witness to some of my people." Well, when I got down to Grandview and got myself acclimated to my new job and whatnot, one of the first things I learned was this man that was working for me. Him and his wife and his son and two daughters had been in church. Well, for reasons, they quit going. And two, there was a young man working there for us. And 2 weeks after I got there, I had the pleasure of leading this young man to the Lord. Now, I worked there for 6 years. It took me 5 years. But I got that man and his wife, his son, his two daughters, and his two son-in-laws back in that church. I feel like this is one of the reasons that God sent me down there. I really do. I would say that the reason I left Grandview High School is there was a lot of conflict between me and the man that I worked for. So we had wanted to, my wife Carolyn and I had wanted to go out on a trip, you know, where we might be able to witness to some people. And we prayed about it. We said, "God, if this is what you want us to do, you open the doors for us. If this is not what you want us to do, you close the doors." Well, it seemed like every time we come up to a door, that door opened. So in 1992, we had bought us a travel trailer. We put that thing behind our truck and we headed east. We went completely across this country. It seemed like that every place we stopped, a service station, RV park, grocery store or whatnot, the opportunity to witness someone came up. All the way to Florida. While we were in Florida, the same thing. All the way back. So it was one of the most joyful trips that we have ever taken. And believe me, we have been across this country many, many times. You know, in 1989, I want to give you some confirmation on what that man said a while ago. In 1989, our grandson Stephen was born on Christmas Eve day. I think it was in February, that he went to the hospital. February the 14th, we had to put him in the hospital because he was going downhill. The doctors told us he will never walk, he will never talk, he'll be fed through a tube in his stomach. He will never be what you see today. And you see what God can do. You see what God can do. There is no power that can supersede our Lord Jesus Christ's power. None. And during the time that Stephen was in the hospital, we were in Grandview, but my wife and I, every afternoon when I'd have got off at work at 2 o'clock, I come home, I jumped in the shower, and we were on our way to Yakima. And one night, she stayed at the hospital so that Gay and her husband could go and get some rest. And I was so miserable when I left that hospital and went back home. When I got home, I went out and I checked our dog, you know, make sure our dog was okay. And went back in and sit down in my recliner. And I had a little bookcase along by the side of my recliner. I kept my Bible laying on my bookcase. And I reached up and I took my Bible and I laid it in my lap to do something else. And my Bible fell open. Now, I've heard of people doing this, you know, and heard of them, you know, their Bibles opening to a certain scripture. Well, my Bible fell open to this scripture, and it's a hymn of faith. Stephen read this scripture 3 weeks ago, but I want to read it again because let me tell you what. From the day or the night that my Bible fell open to this scripture, this has been my scripture. This is a scripture I stand on every day of my life. It's Habakkuk 3, 17 through the end of the chapter. And it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no fruit or food, Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high heels to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. This scripture is telling us that no matter what happens in our life, we have to continue to praise our God, the God of our salvation. It seems like that this is required of us. If we are child of the King, then we have to do that. We have to praise our God. Now, to get on and get to where this really concerns me. Sometime after the 1st of April, I came down sick with diarrhea. One of the worst cases that I have ever known in my life. So I went to a pharmacy and I've got some over-the-counter medication. I took it and it seemed like it sort of took care of the problem for a couple of weeks. But then it came back tenfold, worse than I had ever known. So on the 15th of April, I went to the doctor. And he wrote out his prescription and faxed it into my pharmacy where I get my medication. And my wife, Carolyn, was with me, and he wrote out her prescription also because he didn't want her coming down with what I had. And I called my daughter, Gaylene, that afternoon and asked her if she would go pick up my prescription for me. And she said yes. Well, we went back home, and I took a little dog out for a walk and came back and went in, and I sat down in my recliner. Folks, I know nothing for about the next 20 days. The only thing that I remember in the 4 days that I laid up here in Memorial Hospital was one of our family friends came up to ICU. And I guess that was the night they were getting ready to fly me over to Seattle to lifeline me, or the night before. Anyway, I remember glimpsing her through the door. And I could see her waving and yelling something, you know, and I found out later she was saying, I love you, I love you. Well, on the night of the 19th, they lifelined me to Harborview Medical Center. From the time of rollout at Yakima Airport until they touched down in Seattle at Boeing Field, 20 minutes. From the time they touched down and planes chocked in, they got me out and got me in the ambulance, 10 minutes, I was at Harborview Emergency. When they took me through the door, I understand there was 8 medical attendants all over me like flies on candy. Less than an hour later, I was in major surgery. Let me go back. I want to go back just a little way there. The night that they life-flighted me from Yakima Memorial, they were preparing to send me out. My family, my wife, my 3 daughters, all my grandchildren, was circled around my bed, joined hands, singing hymns, and praising God. They impressed a lot of people in that hospital that night. They let them know who our Lord Jesus Christ was. Anyway, all my family was over at Harborview when I came out of surgery. And my son, I guess he talked to the head surgeon and asked him, what is the prognosis? And he told him, if I had to give odds, it would be like something like 1 in 300 million that he will live through the night. Well, what they didn't know was our Lord Jesus Christ was standing by my bed. And he had his hand on me. I told you I was going to confirm what you said. Now, about 3 weeks ago, we were here in church in morning worship. And at that time, I couldn't sit so very long. But during worship, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about what the Lord conveyed to me the night that my son was told that my chances was 1 in 300 million. He said, the Lord told you these words. I will bring you through this. I am not ready for you. I have more work for you to do. I have more work for you to do. Well, folks, let me tell you something. I'm ready to do whatever my Lord Jesus Christ asked me to do. We serve a living God. A God that is so powerful, there is nothing in this world can ever exceed him. Nothing. Folks, I'm proud to say that I am a child of the King. I'm proud to say that. You know, it has taken a lot for me to come back. In the last week, I can say thank you, Lord, because I've gained 7 pounds. Well, about the last week and a half, I've gained 7 pounds. Because I lost a bunch of weight when I was in Harborview. A bunch of weight. And it continued when I was in Good Samaritan Rehab Center. But you know, when they brought me back to Good Samaritan Rehab Center, the doctor said 6 months before he'll walk out of here. Well, I went into Good Samaritan on the 7th of June. On the 18th of June, I walked out of there on my own power. Yeah, 18th of July, I walked out of there under my own power. Well, I know that I had the desire, but it was God's love that brought me through it. He's the one that helped me walk out of there in less than a month and a half, about a month and a half. And I give him all the glory. There's one thing I want to say, one more thing I want to say. If there's one person here today that doesn't know the Lord, that I have touched, that is thinking about opening your heart and receiving the Lord as your personal Savior, then what I have been through is worth every bit of it. Every bit of it. Because I feel that that is why the Lord has brought me through this, is to witness to people. It's like a song. It's about a lost sheep. And that song says there was 99 in the fold, but there was one lost sheep. And the question was, who is going to find my lost sheep? Well, Lord, here I am. Send me. I'm going and do my best to find that lost sheep and bring it back to the fold. And now to end this, we have a song. It's a little video that we want to put on the screen. And I think this will sum up what I have been trying to say. So thank you very much for putting up with me. And it's been a pleasure to for my testimony.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, Then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary'd said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet. As I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
One thing I want to say, this is a very important part of my testimony. During the time that I was at Harborview, they kept me in a medically induced coma for 12 days. The only time they would have even let me begin to come out of it was when they wanted to take my vitals. And at that time, I would be so violent, they had to strap my arms to the bed. After 12 days, which was sometime around the 1st of July, I opened my eyes and I looked around and I thought, where in the world am I? This is not my bedroom. And I mean, I saw a lot of glass and everything, you know. And everything was in very, very sharp detail. I mean, I would look at my arms and my fingers and whatnot. Everything was in very, very sharp detail. All of a sudden, I heard a voice. It was up off my left shoulder. Before I go any farther, I'm going to say this. Last July, the 14th, Our oldest daughter passed away 11 years ago. We knew before we left Salinas that she had been going to church, that she had joined the Baptist church. After we left down there, we did not know what her spiritual life was. And after her death, I mean, there was many, many, many times I dwelled on this. Is she waiting for me? Is she waiting for us? Anyway, I have heard of these things. I've heard of people going to heaven and coming back. And all of this, you know. I mean, I can't talk for them. I can't confirm for them. But this voice that was up off my left shoulder said, "Daddy." I laid my head back and I looked. My oldest daughter was standing there. And she says, "Daddy, do you know who I am?" And I says, "Yes, you're our Dee Dee." And she says, "Daddy," she says, "we just wanted to come by and let you know everything is all right." And when she said this, there was this beautiful illumination around her with an image in the back. And folks, just as sure as I'm standing in God's house today, it was Jesus Christ that was standing there with my daughter. So I know where she is today. And I know that someday I'm going to be able to take her into my arms and hold her again. That was the part that I really wanted to let you hear. So thank you again.
Thanks, Dad. He's alive. Wow, it seems like the Holy Spirit had that whole service planned, as he always does. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful day. I love you. And if there's anybody who would need prayer, there's going to be people up here that would be ready to pray for you. If you have any prayer needs, physical, spiritual, mental, anything, they're willing to pray for you. God bless you. Love you all.